when I heard that, you know, they're talking about Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat. It says in 2 Chronicles 20 and 15, and he said, "Listen to all of you, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all you members of Gospel Tabernacle." It says that right there. If you read it, it says there. "And you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid." God's not giving us a spirit of fear, amen. "Do not be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but it is God's." Verse 16, the prophet said, "Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz." See, when you follow the words of the Lord, the battle's already planned. He already knows how to fool the enemy's plan, amen? "And you will find them at the end of the brook where of the wilderness of Jeruel." Verse 17, you better hold on to this. Listen to this. "And you, Gospel Tabernacle, you, people here today, visitors here today, children of God, you need not fight in this battle. Position yourselves on the word of God, amen? Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you." He's Jehovah Shammah, amen? He's ever present. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. Praise God. "Who is with you, O Judah, Jerusalem, Gospel Tabernacle, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Amen. You can clap on that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's just my opening statement. That ain't even part of the message. I just heard that song and I had to, that's something in my spirit just jumped out at me. Amen. God's good, amen. I hope you're excited today. I hope you've said Happy Mother's Day to your mother. Have you? Amen. I know. That's one thing we all got in common. We got a mom and a dad, right? Amen. Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 4 for me. Amen. Battle's not yours. When you wrap your head around that, I mean, that's big stuff. The battle is not yours. It's Jesus. Amen. You know, when we did the giving, the pastor said, "To the victor goes the spoils." Well, I'm a victor. Who's a victor here today? No, I mean, really, you believe it? You a victor today? Have you won the victory? You got Jesus Christ on the inside. Amen. I know Jesus is here. I brought him with me. Amen. Huh? Did you bring him with you today? Well, then be excited. Praise God. Today's the day of redemption. Amen. Praise God. I want you to, we normally do our confession, right? We're going to do something a little different today, okay? You repeat after me. I want you to say it like you mean it. Because when you speak out of your mouth what you believe in your heart, your world's going to change. Amen. I want you to say this. Say, "I am alive." Like you mean it. "I am alive because he who died lives on the inside. Through salvation, I am a new creation, no longer bound by sin, but forevermore destined to win." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. As you probably could tell, I'm a big T.O. Osborne fan, so it had to rhyme. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, it's Mother's Day. So, Laura said, "Make sure you talk about Mother." I said, "Well, I'll try and do that." No, praise God. It's Mother's Day. I got a mom to be thankful for. Amen? Praise God. I know, just like me, a lot of you can look at your moms and see Jesus in them. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're at Luke 4. And we're going to start at verse 18. There's something I want to read. I guess if I need to put a title to a message, mine would be "Restoring the Identity of Woman." And you say, "Well, AJ, what do you know about restoring the identity of a woman?" Well, I don't. I don't know much. But God knows. And if you teach the Word of God, if you teach people Jesus, you can't be wrong. I mean, if you put yourself in it, you might come up wrong. You might come up short. But if you speak what Jesus speaks, you're not going to be wrong. Praise God, because Jesus only spoke what he heard his Father say. Let me read this. And then, you know, of course, take this. I'm 23 years young, right? And so this is just sort of what I see. A lot of people talk about You know, a lot of people talk about the younger generation. You know, don't see a lot of hope in it. But I'm part of that generation. I take offense to that because I'm changing this generation. Because I'm a victor. I live with Christ inside of me. The self-same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me, has anointed me to speak the word of God. Amen. And he's anointed you to speak the word of God. We're all called preachers. We might not all be called pastors, apostles, evangelists, or, you know, people in positions of that ministry, but we're all called to preach, because preach just means proclaim. Amen. Wherever you're at, proclaim the word of God. This is just something I wrote down. I said there's a decay in the identity of women. And there really is for men, children, all together, the family itself. Satan's not a dummy. He knows if he can attack the family, he can destroy the moral fiber in our world. And we see that. I put, there's a decay in the identity of women. And it's a war, rather, to belittle the image and the beauty of women. The media subjects women to play roles of sexual promiscuity. The music of our world lyrically binds women to be a mode of satisfaction and lust. And that's the truth, because I deal a lot with music. A lot with music. And whether it's a male vocalist or a female vocalist, if it's worldly music, you just about can count on a woman being demised. And religion, I didn't say Christianity because that's a relationship, but religion bars women from expressing, at least in American religion, the goodness of God because of religious pomp and preference. But praise God. Christ has come and he's redeemed all from the curse. Amen? Man and woman. Praise God. Christ has reconciled us to the Father. All right, now let's get into the word. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then Jesus closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant. He sat down, and the eyes of everyone who were there in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Praise God. Today that scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. Praise God. So let us understand that by no means would of Christ came only to free men. Right? We have for many, many years, we had men preachers, men build churches, men teach the gospel. And sometimes in religion, you know, women were still kept back. Oh, they can teach Bible school, but don't let them preach in front of people. Right? Then you ask yourself, well, if a woman's not supposed to be a preacher, but can she minister to the lost? Oh, yeah, yeah, she can minister to the lost. Okay, can she minister one? Sure, two, yeah, ten. How many can she minister to before she's preaching? Oh, well, I don't know. Well, if a woman was walking down a path and she stood up on a stone or a high place so she could better project herself, would she be preaching if it was just to the lost? Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know. We just don't put her in authority there. You know, T.L. Osborne, he taught a message that said, if I were a woman, and he said, he made something very important statement. He said, listen, and he was talking to all women. It was a women's convention that Daisy was doing. And he said, listen, women, he said, men have got it in control, and they like it that way. They're not going to change it. Huh? We're not dummies, right? Men aren't going to change it if they don't have to. But praise God, Christ has redeemed all. Christ has redeemed all. In fact, I mentioned Daisy Osborne. Let me read an excerpt from her book called Five Choices for Women Who Win. She said, first, we need to learn to conquer these negative attitudes. Now, men, don't fall asleep. Just because I'm saying women today, this applies to you too. This applies to everyone, all right? Don't check out on me. We want to learn to conquer these negative attitudes. One, the selfishness that shrinks us, the prejudice that blinds us, the indifference that isolates us, the envy that erodes us, and the greed that destroys us. There are four final qualities that guarantee success. One, the power of faith to see beyond what is obvious. Amen. That goes for everyone. Wherever you're at, if you have the power of faith to see beyond what is obvious, well, then your world's going to change. Amen. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot to be changed in this world. I don't get discouraged when I see that. I say, praise God, I got a good, hearty work day before me. Amen. Praise God. Number two, the courage to know that you are never defeated unless you give up. Number three, the knowledge to know that you are in control. Four, the adventure, because with Christ it's an adventure, of growing through change by rebeginning. There are four impressions to keep in focus in order to win, and as Daisy says, to win as a woman. One, the deluding impression that what you see is fact. Deluding. What does deluding mean? That means to tear away. That means to erode. So when people keep telling you, I know this is what the Word of God says. I know the Word of God says the battle's not yours, but it really is. Yeah, well, that's the deceiver. That's Satan, right? That's what his beginning of all time he's ever done is deceive. He's deluded. He's tried to delude that seed, that word in your heart. Everybody say, poor devil. No, really, like it's a funny joke. Poor devil. Little d, right? Because I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of ministers, they talk about Satan. They talk about devil as if he's in a place of authority. But 1 Peter 5 says he goes about seeking whom he may, capital M-A-Y, may devour. No, when I write down his name, it's little s, little Satan, little devil. Because he only has authority that I'll allow to give him. He is a severed branch and ever dying. Amen. Poor devil. The deluding impression that what you see is fact. Number two, the despairing impression that failure is final. Failure's not final. I don't know if you know of Maria Woodworth Etter, but she was a great, great minister and woman of God and just had miraculous signs and wonders in her ministry. Everybody say signs and wonders. We don't follow signs and wonders, but signs and wonders follow us. That's gospel. What makes Christianity different than any religion in the world? Because people are miraculously changed in their mind, body, and soul. Amen? That's what Jesus came to do. But Maria Woodworth Etter had a little trouble because she was a woman. And when she started preaching, women weren't supposed to preach. Well, she couldn't find a church to preach in. So she had a tent made. She couldn't find many men to help her drive the stakes. So she drove the stakes herself, set up the tent herself. And God found her there. Amen. Because God does not look whether it's man or woman, but a faithful servant. So don't ever have a despairing impression that failure is final. Remember, we're only defeated when we give up. Number three, the restraining impression that change will ruin things. How many times do we not change things because we don't want to rock the boat? We don't want to rock the boat, right? And usually when you change something, you got one or two people. We'll just make it simple because I'm a simple kind of guy. We just got two or three loudmouths that want to jump out and say, I don't like this change. When it's like, wait, well, majority of us don't really mind it. You know, it's okay. We don't have to do the same thing for another 100 years, right? Amen. Restraining impression that change will ruin things. Number four, the fatalistic impression that you are a victim of circumstance. That one sometimes we don't like to talk about because then we have to put it upon ourselves, whether it's convenient or not, to say, you know what, mind, you're going to have to renew yourself. You're going to have to change the way you think. You are not a fatal victim. You are not a victim of your circumstance because those circumstances can and will change. Amen. Amen. So we see there, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because it's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. Say liberty. Say freedom. Say liberty again. And one more time, freedom. Turn to John 8 and 36. We're just going to look at one verse, but I want you to see it on your Bible there, or your Android or your iPhone. or your tablet. Any electronic Bibles today? We using any few? Yeah, praise God. You can have about 15,000 different Bibles on there at one time, can't you? Just as long as Angry Birds isn't there, okay? All right, Angry Birds ain't going to get you free. All right, John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. It didn't say man shall be free, did it? It didn't say woman. It said you, and you're a you. Amen. Say, I'm a you. Yeah, one more time. I'm a you. Say, I'm a whomever. Praise God. You're a whomever. If you take the word of God, and it's written to you, it's written just for you. Jesus did it just for you. God cares about you. God believes in you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I know that's not real difficult, hard sayings, but when you think about it, it really is the gospel. It really is the good news. It's easy for us to believe in the God who created everything. We'd be foolish not to. We'd be foolish not to believe in the God that provides a way for us, heals our body, sanctifies us from a world of sin, and delivers us out of evil. But praise God, he believes in us. He believes in you. Let's get back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Remember, restoring the identity of women. And this is just something that I've seen. Because I'm tired, very tired, of seeing ladies, especially young ladies, because that's really, now don't get mad, Laura, but that's really, I guess, the most ladies that I interact with, young ladies. Because when we go play music, you know, young guys, young ladies. But it really does hurt me. It really weighs on me when we go somewhere and I see a young lady who is insecure about herself, who doesn't believe in herself, and who feels that she has to fall in a mold and in an image that is made by this world. She has to fall in a mold. She has to, and just bluntly, she has to wear clothes that would reveal enough of herself to attract a man or a boy, right? I mean, don't deny it. It's the truth. Walk through the mall. Walk through the mall. It's summertime, okay? Walk through the ladies' short section. Hey, it's the truth. And if we really think about it, who's probably designing short shorts? Men. Bigot men. Huh? I don't know about you, but I love my wife, and we've celebrated 6 months, 1 week, and 2 days of marriage. Huh? Some of y'all said I would quit remembering after I got married. Huh? But, yeah. Give her a year or two. Hey, but whether I can remember the day or not, I prize her. And I don't care what kind of clothes it is or anything. My wife ain't going to walk out the house for some other man to look at. All right? And you know what? She's not going to feel that she has to wear that clothing to please me either. Because when I'm looking on her, I'm going to tell her, baby, you are the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Amen? And I don't just do that when I want, you know, a dozen cookies made for me. Amen? Because I mean it. Praise God. You better, husbands, and I know I'm a rookie at this, right? But come on now, husbands, you know, you better encourage your wives. You better encourage your daughters. You better teach your sons how to treat women. Amen? Praise God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them, not him, let them have dominion. Ladies, say them. I'm in this too. Say that. I'm in this too. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Say, I have dominion over creeps. Praise God. That's what it says. I borrowed that from Charles Capps. I can't take credit for that. But he said, I got dominion over creeps. So ladies, there's a creep in your life. Man, you got dominion over them. All right. Verse 27. So God created man. mankind in his own image. He create in the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Praise God. Women, you wear the image of God Almighty. Praise God. Praise God. You are a daughter of the King. Praise God. You are royalty. No one could ever tell me that. It is just not, you know, innate in a little girl to want to be a princess, because she is. And don't lose that identity no matter how old you are, because you are royalty. Praise God. You have the image of the Creator. Verse 28, then God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Hey, it's hard to do that on your own, men. Include your wives. Amen? Praise God. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. God's original plan, because see, when we talk about redemption, that's what Jesus came to do, was to redeem us, to restore us, to recreate, to make old new. He's restoring us to the original plan in which God created, when he created man and woman to have this world, to have this garden, and to go forth and subdue it and usher in the glory of God. That's his original plan. It was for man and woman. Therefore, when Jesus comes back to bring harmony, bring redemption, it's to man and woman. Amen? Praise God. God's original plan was for man and woman together in harmony by decree of the Heavenly Father to subdue the world and reign in his glory. God never stated for Adam to leave the way and Eve follow behind. In fact, a woman was the first preacher. Right? Adam wasn't there saying, hey, wait a minute, Satan, we don't need to eat that fruit because God said. No, Eve said. God said we should not eat of that fruit. Amen. Thank you, ladies, for sticking up for us men the first time. I'd wish we'd followed through and backed you up. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I know some of you guys are thinking he's just working brownie points right now. I ain't doing that. No. I'm all about preaching Jesus to people. When you preach Jesus to people, there's going to be freedom. And it doesn't matter your gender, your race, your background, where you started, or where you're going to end. Well, if you're with Jesus, you're going to end winning. Amen? When you preach Jesus to people, that's what the world needs. People need the love of Jesus. People need the selfless love of Jesus. Where's the book we're giving away to Mother's Day? You're going to get this book. Well, I guess it's ladies over 18, right? Yeah. Mothers, future mothers-to-be, future aunts, all that, sisters, daughters. Chapter 20 in this book, Abide in Christ, you're going to be getting this today. Read this. Don't put it on the shelf. Don't let it collect dust. Read this. Chapter 20, it says that you may, the title is that you may bear much fruit. He writes, and this is from John 15:5, and then verse 8, he that abide in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you may bear much fruit. Andrew Murray writes, we all know what fruit is. It's the produce of the branch by which we are all refreshed and nourished. The fruit is not for the branch. We don't produce fruit for ourselves. If you do, you stick it up and it spoils. If you produce fruit for yourselves, because the branch can't eat the fruit. The fruit is not for the branch, but for those who come to carry it away. I'm looking at a bunch of branches today. And it's your job, your responsibility in the kingdom to bear fruit, because someone's going to come and take that fruit and they're going to eat of it, and it's going to give them life. As soon as the fruit is ripe, the branch lets it go to commence afresh its work of love and prepare its fruit for another season. A fruit-bearing tree lives not for itself, but wholly for those to whom its fruit brings refreshment and life. It sounds like a good definition of a mother. Someone that lives to give unto to others, amen? And so the branch exists only and entirely for the sake of the fruit, to make glad the heart of the garden caretaker, make glad the heart of Jesus, of God. is its object, its safety, and its glory. Say, I'm a fruit bearer. Praise God. Amen. You know, we have, back to the statement from Genesis 1, we're looking here. Man and woman was made in the image of God. There was 2 points of equality. Now, if you're a note taker, I'm a note taker. This is what you need to write down. This is what you need to take away. One, man and woman were made equal with God. Now, don't drop your pen when you hear that. Because sometimes we say, whoa, you can't say that. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 with me. There was equality with God. Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who Jesus, being in the form of God, never thought it, never considered it to be robbery or to take away to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, verse 8, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name. Everybody, just say Jesus. Like you mean it, like there's authority in it. Say Jesus. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those of under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let this mind be in you. That's Philippians 2 and 5. It didn't say, my version doesn't read it at least, let this mind be in men. It said, let this mind be in you. Say, I'm a you. I'm a you. The scripture never denotes, let the mind of Christ be in man. No, let this mind be in you. Therefore, the mind of Christ, the call of Christ, the ministry of Christ, preaching reconciliation, preaching the good news that, hey, you're loved, world. Jesus died for you, and he's alive for you. He's got victory for you. The ministry of Christ is for all who come to the kingdom. Amen. Women were redeemed just like men were redeemed. Amen. Because if not, you discount half the body of church. You know, we got to have men and women working together for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Point two, equality with each other. Remember, God made man and woman in the image of himself. Equal with himself, equal with each other. In the kingdom of God, there's no difference for man and woman in position and authority and what Christ gives and liberates. Amen? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and warn you men in here. When you read this, there better not be any amens. You going, hey, unless you want to cook your own Mother's Day meal today. I'm just kidding. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. When you're going there, remember what Corinthians is. It's a letter. The Apostle Paul wrote it to the church in Corinth. Amen? Let's put some background information to this. Where is Corinth? Corinth's in Greece. Okay? Paul, he's taken the ministry and the message of the gospel to the Grecian folk. And in Corinth is the largest temple of Aphrodite, a goddess of the Greek mythology. In that temple were thousands of women enslaved by the bondage of Greek religion. They were used and abused for sexual rights in that religion. So what happens when Paul shows up with the message of the good news of Jesus Christ saying, men, women, you're free from sin and there's new life in this Jesus. He's come just for you. People start getting saved by the multitudes. So you have the Corinthian church asking questions, of course, to Paul. And they say, well, you know, we have all these new converts coming in. A lot of them, think about it. Someone preaches good news to you, and if you're a woman being abused for pleasure of religious right, I mean just taken advantage of, and it's not an ancient thing. There's still a sex traffic trade now, this day. But hey, Jesus is just the same today as he was then, praise God. So if you put yourself in that position, that mindset, and someone preaches victory and liberty to you that you don't have to be bound by a male chauvinist religion like that, well, you're going to get out of it. But when you come out, well, you're going to have to learn some things, because like we all do, men, women, but they come out, their heads are completely shaved because they had to mark these women because, and just blunt words, they were prostitutes, not by their own choosing. They were born into it. So they were marked and cut. That's why you read about coverings. We have, you know, all the Christian churches say, well, women should cover their heads. That's why they covered their heads. The reason that was written, women were to cover their heads because they were shaven and marked from abuse, from a satanic religion. And King Nero was looking for Christian converts to slaughter. On point, to make show of in the Colosseum, to rip apart and be ripped apart with lions. So he said, you know what, ladies? You just can't help it. You're going to stand out. You have a shaved head. You've been marked up from this religion. You need to cover your heads. 34 and 35, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they're not permitted to speak. But they are to be submissive as the law. That's a little L. Law also says, remember Paul, he's coming from a Jewish background. He knows the law. He was a teacher of the old law. Verse 35, and if they want to learn something, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for the women to speak in the church. You have a lot of churches and a lot of people that say, wait a minute, okay, this is the decree. Women shall not speak in church. And they get it from that. I don't see that there. I see, all right, Corinthian church, you're in the ministry, and a vibrant part of your ministry of the gospel is getting these women out of bondage of prostitution. And they've come and come, they're not only in a satanic religion, but they're in the depths of it. And they're going to have lots of questions. But in order to progress in content, deliver message in the church, they're going to need some additional homework at home. That's what I see there. I read something here. It said, let us put this teaching of Paul into context. And I talked about how they were abused. It says they didn't speak in church because they were illiterate. They weren't taught. I mean, we're talking about, you know, several years after Jesus Christ had ascended into heaven. At that point, women were still, for a long time into history, after that, women were not treated as equal counterparts. And you think about it. Think about it. Let it seep into your mind, because sometimes it's still hard for us to conceive in the world world system we're in. But if Satan can bind half of the population and can keep and use men who are teaching the gospel to say the women don't need to know how to read, because, you know, that's just nonsense. Jesus wouldn't free half of people. He wouldn't just free half of the creation of God. So they didn't speak because they had to, one, they had to learn to read to begin with. And two, they had an order to take in the message of the gospel. But praise God, women can read today, right? Amen. Amen. And you can discover the truths of your redemption in Jesus Christ. Praise God. You getting something out of this so far? Men and women? Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 3. And I know you know this verse, but you need to see it on your Bible. You need to read it. Praise God. Because his word, it is life and truth. Amen? Praise God. Christ came for us all. Let's get through this. And I don't want to keep it too long. I know the last time I taught for Valentine's Day, Dad still hadn't matched my time. I didn't know I spoke that long when I spoke on Valentine's Sunday. It was long. I apologize for keeping you too long. So I'm not going to do that today. All right. John 3, verse 15 is where we're going to start. That whoever, say I'm a whoever, believes in him, that's Jesus, should not, cannot, will not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, say I'm a whoever, believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God did not send Jesus, his son, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent Jesus, his only begotten son, to express God's love, not condemnation. Praise God. Christ came to save us, not condemn us. And if there is a message or an idea, whether in religion or in this world system, that brings condemnation, that binds, that restricts, that yokes, it is not of Christ. Amen? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. So why limit women? Why would religion women limit women? We know why the world system would. Because if Satan can mislead some men and say, hey, let's limit women, well, then you cut off, like we said, half the church of ministering the gospel. But praise God, all who believe in Christ are free. 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to start at verse 17, go through 19. Therefore, if anyone, say I'm an anyone, is in Christ, and I have he here. But ladies, when you read your Bible, put she if it says he. You're not going to break any rules. Let's do this. It's Mother's Day. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. Now all things are of God. Say, I'm an all thing. You're of God. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Praise God. We went to a conference 2 weeks ago, me and Lauren, and it was Jesus Culture Praise and Worship, and Banning, the leader of Jesus Culture, he spoke for about 40 minutes, and he taught on that. As children of God, we are to preach the message of reconciliation. And if you ask yourself this question, have I told someone about Jesus this past week? If you can't come up with something, you better put your feet to asphalt and start preaching the gospel. And I'm not, you don't have to stand on a corner side and yell and scream, but you go to work with a lot of people that need Jesus, right? Hey, they might be in the church saying something about you needing Jesus, huh? All right, make sure wherever you go, you represent Christ. If you're in school, young people, tell school about Jesus. Tell your classmates about Jesus. Our school needs Jesus. Amen. Wherever you're at, you can tell people about Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I go to conferences, I get jacked up spiritually, okay? I mean, I just come out full steam ahead, okay? And we went to a gas station. We're 5 minutes after this conference. Went to a gas station, fill up gas, and I saw a guy walking up. He wasn't dressed very nice. He was an older man. And, you know, people, you know, can look a little bit rougher sometimes when they're not living in Jesus, you know. The world's a tough place, and people's bodies show that. So I saw him over there, and it seemed like he wanted to say something to me. And Laura said, sometimes I come off intimidating. I guess it's just my biceps is what it is. I don't, is it that? It's not, okay. So I saw that person, I saw this gentleman. His name was George. And I just looked at him, and I looked at him until he made eye contact with me. I was making sure I was smiling. He came over to me and said, sir, I need money for a bus ride. I said, why do you need money for a bus ride? He said, well, I'm going to catch the bus. I'm going to go downtown, and there's a homeless shelter where I spend the nights. I said, why are you spending the night there? He said, well, I don't have a home. So what do you have in your bag there? He said, I have medication. I have these certain ailments I have to take medication for. I said, okay. I said, well, George, I'll help you get there. I don't mind doing that because I believe in, you know, helping people. I said, but I also believe that Jesus can make all this go away. And I told him, I said, George, before I give you money, I'm going to do something that's going to help you way more than this money to get to the bus. It's only $2. And then some people say, well, yeah, but what if we went and spent it on alcohol or marijuana? Hey, I blessed him. I don't know what he's going to do with that money. I blessed unto him. That's his choice. And that's his right. Or not right. Let me take that back. That's his choice to do with it. I can't determine his choice, but I can sow a hope of a seed of hope into his life. And I'm not just going, you know, what do we do? What are we supposed to do with beggars? We're supposed to give them money and keep walking, right? Don't do that. Minister to them. T.L. Osborne said, you know, he's went up to beggars before and say, why do you smell? I don't smell. Why are you dirty? I'm not dirty. Something's gotten that person. Something has eroded that person's self-countenance to get to that position. So I said, George, I'm going to pray with you. And we prayed. He met Jesus. And we pray. Hey, and I didn't stop there because I know if he might get in a church and they're going to teach him he can have salvation but not healing. So I don't stop there. I said, George, you got medicine. I believe Jesus, he's going to heal you. And so I prayed for his healing. And I prayed for the rest of that week for good success because I believe in George. I might not see him again, but I believe in him. Amen. Praise God. Say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Amen. Man, woman, doesn't matter. Praise God. Well, we're going to start wrapping up here. Let's turn to Genesis 3, verse 16. We have a young adult Bible study in. We meet when we can, and last week we met, and it's talking about the ministry of reconciliation, and we read this part, this curse that came upon Adam and Eve because they sinned, and they walked out of the obedience of God. Let's actually start at verse 14. Chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are more cursed than all the cattle. More than every beast of the field, on your belly shall you go. You shall eat dust in all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Now, this is a physical example. Any ladies here love snakes? Not many people do, right? But there's also a spiritual example put here because this snake is a representation of Satan. Say, poor devil. No, say it like you know it. Poor devil. Right, because he's broken and defeated. And it says, and between your seed and her seed of Satan and the seed of her, Jesus Christ is that seed. Because he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Verse 16, to the woman he said, this is God speaking, because of the sin, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That was a statement and an issue of curse. In Christ, man doesn't rule over woman. Rather so, I made a vow statement to my wife that I would be unto her like Christ is to the church, that I would give myself to her that she may live. In the sense that I will provide in my humanly affections and responsibility, her strength, her nourishment, her supply, her provision to take care of her, protect her, and cherish her as the jewel she is. Amen. I'm not to lord over her. I wash dishes and I'm proud of it, right? Hey, but who said women were had to wash the dishes, right? Praise God. Turn to Romans 8. We're getting close to closing. Anyone getting hungry yet? People hungry? Well, I'm going to get you out of here. I promise. Yeah, I wash dishes. I wash dishes. Cleaned the toilet yesterday. Laura said I make... Never mind, we won't go there anyway. Not before lunchtime. Romans 8. We're going to start at verse 15. Verse 15, Romans chapter 8. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear. Paul's preaching to the Romans. He's telling them, hey, this isn't just another religion to be bound by. But you received the spirit of adoption. Say, I'm a child of God. You need to say that every day when you wake up. You need to go out your house knowing that fact that I'm a child of God, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit of Himself bears witness through our spirit that we, not him, not man, we, man, woman, we are children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Praise God. There's no distinction there, is there? No man and woman distinction. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ladies, you are children of the Most High God. You are a princess in the kingdom. Praise God. That might sound weird. Don't let it sound weird. That's truth. Praise God. But we know Satan, he's going to try to steal that seed. We know the parable of the sower that sows the seed. If you don't take this seed today, man or woman, this is gospel. This applies to everyone. If you don't take this seed and let it plant inside of you, if you don't water this seed, it'll be plucked up. See, there's something I realized. When it comes to believers and the church, Satan's not a dummy. He understands. He's probably about 99% sure he can't get you, you know, to disown God, to make you not believe that there's a God or not believe in Jesus. What does he do instead? He says, well, I can't make them not believe in Jesus, but that word that he speaks to his children, if I can just get to that word, if I can pluck it out, if I can make them doubt it, if I can erode from that foundation, well, they'll be inactive Christians, and they won't live out the word of God, and that's just as good for him. See, if we have a kingdom of men and women that don't act on the word, then Christianity has become a religion and not a relationship. But we've been called to that ministry of reconciliation. Remember, mothers and ladies, you're going to get this book, Abide in Christ. We are fruit bearers. Fruit bearers. Don't stop bearing your fruit. We're going to end here. Let's turn. Well, we've got two more. Psalms 139, verse 13. I just want to uplift ladies here today. No matter what your age is, no matter where you find yourself, I just want to uplift you. I'm all about uplifting people because I believe in people. Because Jesus believes in people, amen? That's not just preaching tout. That's not just how can I, you know, get through a sermon, 45-minute sermon, and say a bunch of words. I believe in people. Psalms 139, verse 13. Now, this is David's telling to the Lord, singing this psalm of worship to the Lord. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I'll praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Laura has a note card that she made of that verse, and it's on her mirror. And so when she looks at her mirror, when she looks at herself, she has to see the word of God saying, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. What are the works? Us. We're the works. Say, I'm marvelous. Oh, don't be shy to say that. Just say it. Say, I'm marvelous. I'm marvelous. You agree? when you wake up in the morning, if you're married, turn to your spouse, say, I'm marvelous. And make sure you say back, yes, you are, dear. Praise God. And that my soul knows that very well. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. You know, I'm not trying to get political, but I don't think it's a political proponent. I think it's an attack of the enemy. But you hear a lot about abortion. God framed every child in the depths of his mother's womb. You can't tell me that didn't happen, because we see that right there. literally, as a child, you were framed from the beginning by the precious hands of God, sowing into your very perfection as His creation. Verse 16, your eyes, they saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, it was all written down. The days were fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts toward me, O God. Say, God's thinking about me. He is. Verse 18, if I should count them, they would be more number than the sand. And when I wake, I'm still with you. We're going to end here, I promise. Proverbs 31. I know probably most people know Proverbs 31 is that. It's a Proverbs woman. But let me read this for you. It says, on that last note, I'm wonderfully and beautifully made. That's God's news for all. Little s, Satan, poor devil, doesn't want you to know that the truth, that you are a beautiful creation of God the Creator, fashioned in His likeness, destined for His greatness. Rather, the world would have you subject yourself to constant criticism and judge you by your outward appearance, leaving you feeling less than who you really are, a magnificent creation of God. Because the world wants to do that. The world wants to, it's men and women, but hey, this is Mother's Day, so we're showing out for moms and ladies alike today. There is, if Satan can destroy your identity of who you really are in Christ Jesus, he can make you ineffective. And there's plenty of it in the world to destroy and to devalue women. I think it's a Dove commercial that deals with this. And it isn't Christian. Not that I know of. It just talks about self-image. But go look it up on YouTube. Dove commercial, women commercial. And this guy, y'all might have seen it. This guy, he's a sketch artist for a police department. Retired, 20-some-odd years. What he has in this group, in this first room, he has all of these ladies are congregating, meeting each other, exchanging names, talking to each other for about 15, 20 minutes. And then he calls in a lady. And he asked a lady to describe herself. She's not looking at a mirror or anything, just describes herself. And he sketches out what she describes. Then they ask another lady that met the first lady, Lady A, the first lady, for 15, 20 minutes. And they say, well, can you describe the lady that you just met? The first person he just sketched a personal portrait of. So the lady, the second lady, describes the first lady. And then they hold it up. The personal description by the lady herself, 9 times out of 10, she looks about 15 years older and just, depressed and unhealthy. The second image described by a lady that met the first lady, she usually looks about 5 years younger than what she really is and more self-confident and more beautiful about herself. So you can't say that there's not a war trying to affect the image we have of ourselves in Christ Jesus. But this is what I want to bless you with today. Proverbs 31, look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. We can say mother, daughter, sister in that case. Who can find a virtuous woman? Let's jump to verse 25. This is what Christ does to ladies and men alike. But ladies, when you take on that understanding that you are a beautiful creation in Christ Jesus, molded by the hands of the Creator, this is what He's going to clothe you with. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, because you speak the word, amen? Speak the word in your family, mothers. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Praise your wives, husband. Verse 29, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. If you haven't written your Mother's Day card, put that in there. Amen. Many mothers have done well, but you excel them all, Mom. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Let me just read this here. It seems when I write things down, it comes out a little bit clearer. Woman of God, you have been returned to your loving Father through Christ Jesus. Don't doubt that. He has clothed you in strength and honor, virtue and purity. All that you put your hands to prospers before the sight of God, for you fear and respect the Lord. Your husband, your children, those around you, your family members, all your good works, they give you praise and testimony of who you are because you live a life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Stand up with me today. Praise God. Amen. I hope you're blessed by that today. I really do. I don't know how you couldn't be because